It's 11:15. Mabel Louise, good to see you today.
Good morning. It's a wonderful day. Uh-huh. I get to be with you, and I love it. You know what? This is March, of course, as if you didn't know already. But think about it. Easter will be here before you know it. But right now, I want to tell you something, and I hope you'll tie a string around your finger. Because this is March Hoop Month, a fun time for everybody. And just to let you know, I'll be joining Paul on March 5th. Now, that's this coming Thursday. And I'll be with him at 4:45. Would you call in? Would I ever love to talk to you? Especially some of you old-timers that have been listening for many years. I'd so love to hear how you're doing and about your family and how long you've been listening and all those good things. So don't forget, this coming Thursday at 4:45, I'd love to hear from you, okay? Now today, I'm going to continue on with my series of Behold Our God. And I want to really emphasize that word, behold. Did you know that word is used 154 times in the scriptures? So the Lord surely wants our attention when he uses that word to bring something good for our attention. And so I looked up and the commentaries called it, and I like that, their definition the best. It says, stop and consider a most amazing thing. In other words, when you see that word in the scriptures, stop, think. How amazing whatever you're going to be reading is really to be in your life. So instead of saying, ho-hum, I've read that many times, or I've heard that before, think how wonderful it is and how gracious our Lord is to have left heaven and to come down to earth to die for you and me and our wickedness. Yes, man is wicked, aren't we all? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so, whenever you see that word, I'm going to remind you, it is amazing. And at this point, I've covered Jesus' birth, Jesus' baptism, and today I want to finish up Jesus' temptation. A simple definition of temptation would be to test or to entice to do wrong. Another way to describe it would be to say that it is an enticement to act contrary to God's will. And this is exactly what Satan was attempting to do at this time with Jesus. And by the way, what he continually tries to do with you and me. Some days I think he never leaves me. He's always after me. And every time we're enticed to disobey God with our thoughts, and isn't that something else, with the words we say, or maybe the way we act, we have a choice to walk faithfully with the Lord or go our own way. And one thing I would really like to point out is this temptation was God's idea. Yes. The scripture says, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. Why? Well, think about it. The baptism experience would not mean anything if Jesus failed the test of his faith and his obedience. Another reason would be his baptism and his temptation. Both of those were examples for you and me, and as believers, we should follow. So when I closed my last broadcast, I was approaching Jesus's third temptation. So let me quickly review first and second, and let us learn together what to do when Satan comes to jab us and not leave us alone. Well, the first temptation, Satan is attacking Jesus at the point of his physical weakness. Jesus hadn't eaten or taken a drink for 40 days. And the evil was that Satan wanted Jesus to do an illegitimate way of satisfying his hunger. Note the clever approach from Satan. If you are the Son of God. Remember, God had just pronounced him earlier at the baptism that he was the Son of God. Well, Jesus didn't argue with him or say anything. He just quoted Deuteronomy 8:3. It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Think about this. Jesus was, as the book of John states, the Word of God that became flesh. Jesus was and is the Son of God, but he had to become a man so to die for you and for me and for our awful sin. So you see, he was a really God, human God being. If Jesus had yielded to Satan, the whole purpose of his coming would have been destroyed. The whole purpose of his incarnation was on the line. But Jesus, of course, met the test. Well, the second temptation, Satan changed his approach. The test was of public nature, wealth, and power. It would be a crowd pleaser for Jesus to come down out of the sky and right into the temple. If he had jumped, of course he would have survived, but he would have lost his mission. It would have been sensationalism. But Jesus chose the way of the cross. Satan was trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut. In a way, Satan was saying, you can have it all now, Jesus. You won't have to suffer. You won't be humiliated. Just bow down to me. And then again, Jesus goes to the written word and quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the third temptation. How persistent Satan is. Oh, my goodness. And he's not finished yet. And this time, he's testing Jesus' spiritual strength, namely, his trust in the Father. Satan is probably referring to the southern wing of the temple because King Herod had built a portico. And the writer Josephus, by the way, he wrote a big book about the time of Jesus and what was happening. And Josephus writes that anyone looking down from that particular spot would be giddy, and that it would be a 450-foot drop. Wow. Note that Satan always uses that word if, trying to get us to doubt. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here. What he's saying is, prove you are the Son of God. Well, then again, Jesus quotes a scripture, this time Deuteronomy 6:16. Do not put the Lord your God to test. Think about it. And he said, this is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thy serve. Satan failed, yes, and our Jesus conquered. Isn't he wonderful? Yes, it is amazing. He remained faithful, of course, to the will of God. What a lesson for you and me. Now he's taught us what to do when we're tempted. What's some lessons that we can learn? Well, the scriptures, of course, are our source for the revelation of the will of God. We have to rely on the written word as Jesus did. And that's why he did this great example. Being faithful to the will of God is more important than all those breads and all the possessions and all the things Satan offered. Being faithful to the will of God does not normally involve shortcuts. And unfortunately, it is a battle for all of us. Well, how do we handle temptation? Well, we need to expect it, of course. The Lord told us we would be tempted. But he said, I'm so glad he offered us this beautiful verse of scripture found over in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but of such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He'll not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that a beautiful verse? I hope you've memorized it. I know that was one of the first verses that I learned as a teenager and how it helped me in all these years. So we are to expect it, not fear it, but to resist it. James 4:7 says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then detest it. Stay alert. Watch for the signs. Be aware of it before it strikes you. And then thirdly, reject it. Expect it, detest it, and reject it. Learn how to protect yourself as Jesus did. Give Satan God's word for an answer. So questions to ask yourself when you're being tempted. Let me give you 9 things that I thought of. It is distinctly forbidden by the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Is it of the world? Is a question to ask yourself. Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it is of the world. Then ask yourself this question. Would the Lord have done it? 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Here's another question to ask yourself. Would you like to be found doing whatever it is when the Lord returns? 1 John 2:28 says, and now abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then this is one I use a lot. Will God be glorified if I take part in whatever Satan is tempting you to do? Well, whatever you do, 10:31 of 1 Corinthians says, do all to the glory of God. Can you really do whatever it is for the glory of God? Can you feel free to do it when you remember that God, the Holy Spirit, dwells within you? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? You are bought with a price. Isn't that something that we need to remember? That we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit with our actions. And then, is it fitting for you as a child of God? Would it hurt your testimony? Would, if someone was watching, would it be something that would hurt them? And would it cause them to doubt your faith in the Lord by your actions? And that is so important. Then what effect will your conduct have on other lives? Will a child be watching you and repeat what you're doing? Will your teenager watch what you're doing and follow in your steps? And then last but not least, is there the least bit of doubt in your mind about it? If in doubt, don't do it. Romans 14:23 says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So a good rule of thumb would be, if you're in doubt, just cancel it out and don't do it. So let me remind you as I go off the air, if when Satan tempts you, and he will for sure, use God's word to let him know that you are on top of it and you love Jesus. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.